Welcome back to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Happy Tuesday. It's a beautiful morning, and we have Jake Gensel joining the show, which is the big one. He's been on our list for a little while here, and we finally made it happen. Very exciting. I think he's probably one of the most talented players we've ever had on the show, certainly among current players. So really cool to talk to him about coming up with Pittsburgh and Crosby and Malkin and Kessel and Letang and all of those guys. And, of course, being traded last year, what conversations happened before that with his teammates, with the GM, all that sort of stuff. And then being traded again to Tampa Bay, signing with them long-term, replacing Stamkos and how awkward that could be. So really, you know, just fun stuff and a great interview. A couple of things here. Jake had some technical difficulties. I don't know if it was a spotty Wi-Fi or whatever, but you might hear him lag a little bit here and there. We tried to clean it up as best we could, but every so often you might hear a little bit of just that lag there. So be prepared for that. And then, unfortunately, if you're watching this on YouTube, apparently Jake's video recording stopped around the 12-minute mark and did not come back. So even though we were seeing him during the interview and had no reason to think that it wasn't going to work, the video just did not record. So the audio's fine. We'll put something up there, you know, his face or whatever. But just a bummer. But that is life in the high-stakes world of podcasting. Sometimes you have to just roll with the fly, and that's what we're doing here. So it was a great interview. I hope you enjoy. This interview, like all interviews, is brought to you by Bet365, the proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use code HOCKEYCA. And without further ado, here's Jake Gensel.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another show of Dropping the Gloves. We got a good one here. We got a new superstar, Tim. And I base superstars on the paycheck. I am a superficial type person. I don't care what you do on the ice. I base it on the number that you find at Cap Friendly. And this guy is a new addition to the superstar list is Jake Gensel, who I've been chasing around. I want to say 3 to 4 years playing, you know, cat and mouse. And I don't want to insult the players. I know they're busy. I know they're, you know, they're superstars. Hey, Mr. Gensel, this is John Scott. Can you please come on the show? And like 3 weeks later, he'll send me a response. Busy, maybe. Right, Jake? Is that how it's gone?
That's awesome.
Is that not true, Jake, how that's been going on?
No, I don't think it's been that long, but it's been a little bit, yeah. It's been pretty busy this
while. It was well worth the wait. Thank you for coming on the show. You're from Minnesota right now. You said you just had a little one?
Yeah, he just turned 2, so he's 2 years old, so he's running around like crazy right now, and it's been fun to kind of see him grow this summer.
Oh, that's awesome. It's been a busy summer for you.
Yeah.
Can we just put that lightly?
Yeah, it's been a lot this summer, just the whole free agency process, and then figuring out the move down to Tampa, getting the family down there and getting everything situated that way. So it's been a lot. It's been a different, a little bit of adjustment for me and the family, but obviously we couldn't be more excited.
Well, let's just jump right into it. We'll go back and talk about your University of Nebraska, Omaha, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, first year of the Penguins, Stanley Cup, all that crap. Let's just jump into what everybody wants to hear, what everybody's tuning in for. You signed a big ticket, Jake, this year. 7 years, $9 million for $63 million. First of all, before we get into the hockey side of it, have you wrapped your head around that number yet?
No, not really at all. It's obviously, it's his dream come true. It's his once in a lifetime opportunity for all you've really worked for your whole life. So it was a stressful year, but obviously really rewarding in the end. Couldn't be happier where it ended up and how it played out.
So are you aware of that? You know, going through the year in Pittsburgh, you're having another solid year, Mr. Consistent. You're like, I'm a UFA after this year.
Yeah, I mean that.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, for sure. That's, you know, every as you're a hockey player, you know when you're the years and contract years. And I knew this year was going to be a little bit different because I knew there's a chance I could possibly be traded too. So that was another thing. And just left it on the back burner and just tried to play hockey and enjoy it as much as I could.
Well, how does that work too? Let's go to that first, because you're in Pittsburgh, new GM, new philosophy, right? Kind of not a changing of the guard because they bring back all the guys, your buddies, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, everybody re-signs, but the smell is in the air that things maybe need to change and you're up for a new deal. What are we going to do with Jake Gensel? Crosby loves you. He said it in the press all the time. What are those conversations like with Kyle Dubas coming up to the trade deadline?
Yeah, that's the thing. There wasn't much communication. It was just kind of, you knew the media kind of put it out there that it has a possibility, it's a chance. So, you know, you weren't really too sure. You know, there's a little contract talk the summer prior, couldn't come to anything. And, yeah, I was free agent. So, you know, the trade deadline, you know, the rentals, the situation, that could be a possibility. And, kind of my first opportunity to go through maybe being a trade chip. So it was a lot of different things this year. You just kind of, adjusted a little bit, but for my end, it was really cool. I mean, I was hurt. So, during the trade deadline time. So it was kind of, I was talking with my agent a lot and kind of seeing what was going on daily. I obviously, it changes daily on what you hear and what you think you're going to go to, but, it was a lot of fun and it was pretty stressful at times too.
Pittsburgh usually adds, you guys are always contenders. What was like Sid actively talking to you daily? Like, hey, Jake, we're not going anywhere. Don't worry. I got your back.
Yeah. It got to the point where, yeah, Sid and Tanger, we sat down and had quite a few conversations about it. Knew this is an opportunity, and hopefully, we were hoping we could turn it around. That this, you know, we would maybe be adding, but unfortunately, it didn't get to that point. And yeah, obviously, leaving those guys was tough, but just to be able to do my own thing, it was just confidence wise, it felt pretty good.
All right. Well, you get traded to Carolina, and you go there, and epic failure. Didn't win the Stanley Cup, unfortunately. But we move on to bigger and better things. You're a UFA. Well, did Carolina try to re-sign you? Because I know you're an enticing piece. You're something that they've lacked, like a consistent goal scorer who can stay healthy and do his job every single day. Was there any conversation there to say, hey, we want to keep you around?
There was. It was, you know, it got down to the end there where we were pretty close. And maybe we just took a little bit too long. But there was, it just worked out that you know, I loved my time there. The guys were great. And yeah, it just obviously didn't work out in the end.
So now you get traded June 30th to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is what Tim and I were talking beforehand. I played a decade. Do you know when you get dealt June 30th that you're going to have a deal in place with Tampa when you get traded? Because that's not normal because you're a UFA in 2 days, mm-hmm. July 1st. What was the reasoning behind that? Because I know you can't talk to other teams. Did Carolina give you permission to find another?
No, they never gave me permission. But obviously when a team trades for you, you kind of realize that they really want you at that state. We're like that time of the year. I mean, June 30th, I'm getting traded to Tampa. So I think that puts in the perspective that they would really want on me. And, you know, I couldn't be happier. It's, you know, Florida, Tampa, it's a great spot to live. It's good for the family. And obviously there's some high end players there. So I just can't wait to get down there and see it firsthand.
No state tax.
Exactly.
That's not
that bad. Helps too.
That's not bad.
I will take that. Yeah, for sure.
So you're negotiating with Julien Brisebois. While this is happening, do you know Steven Stamkos? You heard of him?
Very, obviously highly respected guy. And I wasn't too sure what was going on with that whole process at the time. You know, obviously you wouldn't really, he's been in a place for his whole career and just high end player that you respect and you admire from far away. So yeah, I wasn't really sure too what was going on with that.
So the optics of it is from an outside observer, younger, better looking, fresher, youthful. Let's get the young kid in. Kick out the old buck and regroup. That's what it looks like from the outside looking in. Did you get that feeling? I get traded to Tampa. I take Stammer's money. Now he has to leave. Cause that's a lot to take in.
Yeah. I don't mean, like I said, it's hard for me to, I'm not sure what was going on behind the scenes with them and in Stamkos. So it's hard for me to say anything about it, obviously. Yeah, it's, I think people are going to talk. It's a tough situation to be in. Yeah, but it's for my end. It's yeah. There's nothing really much I can do. It's just they wanted me, and it worked out for me.
You got to do your thing. You got to take care of you. Now, did you have to ask for number 91 when you got to Tampa Bay, or was that just what was that?
Yeah, I would never do that. Come on, that's going to be a wrap this year, too.
So what was that like, though? Because you get traded on the 30th. Obviously, we have the same agency. I'm long gone, but I know how they work. Mike Louis and Ben Hankinson, they're probably pounding the pavement, calling everybody. What's that process like? Because you get traded in the afternoon. All of a sudden, you have a day and a half to work through a deal before you UFA. Is it just crazy back and forth? Like, let's get this done as quick as possible?
Yeah. I mean, you're down to the clock at that point. So I think it's, you know, they make the call, they trade. Yeah, I get the call from Hank that I'm getting traded to Tampa or the rights. And then he said, all right, just hang tight, because I'm sure something's going to probably happen here eventually. So, and then later that night, we got agreed to a deal, and it was just like that. So it was all happened pretty fast. It was a crazy day. And yeah, here we are, and looking forward to the season.
It's so looking forward to this season. You just casually sign a $9 million contract for 7 years. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Yeah. That's bizarre, Jake. You're a third rounder from Omaha, Nebraska, played 3 years in the NCAA, and all of a sudden you get to play, you go from playing with Sidney Crosby, being his wingman, his goose. Now you're playing with Nikita Kucherov potentially for the next 7 years. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate to play along some superstars, some of the best to ever play. I mean, Sid and Gino and Letang, for sure. Those guys are probably one of the top three I've ever played. And then you go to Carolina. I think Sebastian Aho is one of the most underrated, but I don't think he's underrated. I think he's a high end player and good 200-foot player. And then you go to Tampa with obviously Kucherov. I mean, 100 assists last year. That speaks for itself. And you got Braden Point, and there's a lot of high-end players there. So I'm just really looking forward to this opportunity with those guys. And I can't wait to learn from them. That's the biggest thing. I said, I think that's just going to be the best part for me.
So you might be in a position now, don't sell yourself short, where you've been, you're a super Stanley Cup champion. You've been around, you know, you're a great hockey player. You could probably teach them a thing or two, which is kind of cool. Well, I don't think you need to undersell yourself.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be fun. I just can't wait. I mean, 100 assists in the league, that's pretty remarkable.
Have you had any conversations with those guys in Tampa yet?
Yeah, I've talked to quite a few. Obviously, Ryan McDonough's with Hankinson as well. So I went to dinner with him and his wife, and had some conversation with guys. And it's just nice when guys reach out to you and make you feel welcome right away.
Well, I want to ask about Carolina now, because you mentioned, you know, the trade and how great the guys were, Aho. Like, what are some, because you've been playing for 8 years for one team. What are some of the things you noticed right away and differences in the organization, the culture, the guys? Like, how does one franchise compare to another in your experience?
Yeah, it was different. I mean, Pittsburgh, obviously, some of the guys there have been there a long time, a little bit. You know, Sid and those guys have been there, what, 18, how many years, whatever, 18, 19, 20. Yeah. So it's, those guys have been there for a long time. You go to Carolina, it's a little bit younger team. And so that part was the biggest thing. It was a little bit younger. And but the organization wise, obviously, I think Pittsburgh's probably one of the best, but Carolina was very, very good too. So coaching staffs were both great. And obviously the weather in Carolina was really nice when we got there. So that was a good part of it too.
Who's a guy on that team that you didn't realize maybe how good he was until you were skating with him every day?
Well, I thought Sebastian Aho was just unbelievable. I think he should be getting more recognition than he gets. I think he's only going to get better as he goes. But then I also think of Seth Jarvis. I think Seth Jarvis is going to be a really special player in this league for a long time, plays in all situations, and he can do a lot. And yeah, he's just a great guy to be around too.
Yeah, he's been on the show. He's the man. John and him are best friends, right, John?
Yeah, guys, he's so funny. Yeah,
he's a good dude. So I'm more interested in on ice stuff. What listen, Crosby's one of the smartest hockey minds ever, and you got to play with him. What does he do on the ice? Because I played against him. I played against you. He's hard to defend. He's elusive, but he's strong as an ox in the corners and stuff and around the net. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have little tells with each other off of faceoffs in the offensive zone, or he's like? Get going, Jake.
Every face off we had plays no matter what. If it's in the D zone, neutral zone, center dot, offense zone, there's always plays to try to do. That's just the thing. He's always thinking ahead. I mean, not alone on the ice, off the ice. Like, if he'll text you late at night, you see this play, you see this goal. The guy just loves hockey, breathes hockey. He's always watching. He's always want to get better. And that's why he's doing what he's doing at this age, because he's a communicator and just he works his butt off every day.
What was your go-to? Because matchups are huge, right? And everybody wanted to match up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, Jake Guentzel, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. Who did you like going against battle-wise? Because you guys, you went against the Capitals, you went against the Rangers. The rivalries were, there was a lineup of people who loved playing the Penguins throughout the years. Which one did you get up for? You're like, okay, here we go. It's Ovechkin. It's the Capitals. No, it's Panarin. It's the Rangers. No, it's the Bruins. It's Marchand. Which one got you excited?
Oh yeah, it's obviously when I first came in, it was Washington. There was nothing better than those. And I think every game I played against Washington, it was one of the most electric games. It's always fun to play against those games. I think both teams get up for those. And then you go to get the Rangers. That's always a tough one. That was always fun to be a part of. The MSGs, I don't think there's anything better than MSG. And then Tampa. I mean, they got the winning culture that a lot of teams want to, you know, when you win two in a row, I think that's, you always want to play good against those teams. So, I thought those were always the good ones.
All right. I want to know about Evgeny Malkin. There was when I first came into the league, I tried to lay him out and he just stood me up, like just bury me. And then I got him back later that game. But my coach would always say, whenever we played him, don't poke him. Just leave him be. You were around him for 8 years. Is there any credence to that, to where he just took it to another level, where some games he was just like playing good, but you had to like piss him off to get him going? Or yeah, are we missing the mark on Evgeny Malkin?
No, that guy is, he doesn't look that strong, but he's one of the strongest players I've ever played with. He's, I mean, what, 6'5", and his balance on his skates is probably the best, one of the best. Him and Sid obviously are one of the best at that. Probably one of the best players ever play, but when he really got engaged, no one could get the puck off his stick. He can make high end plays. He can walk you whenever, but he also can, if you want to hit him, he'll reverse you and hit you back and he'll stun you. That's the thing about him. People might not think that, but he can hit you and he can, in the corners, it's tough to get the puck off of him. He's so long. He has a long stick. The one thing I noticed about him is when pucks are rimmed on the wall, you watch him, he picks up every puck with his feet. He's just so good at catching passes with his feet. You just learn little things like that. It's just fun to watch him. And I was going to be tough playing against him.
Were you nervous when you went into the locker room and saw you were playing with Crosby and Rust or Crosby and whoever you were lined up with? You're like, oh, okay. Like how crazy was that when you saw that for the first time?
So my first game, I was with Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel, and I couldn't be, more nervous. Couldn't be more like, okay, how's this going to go? I'm playing with two superstar NHL players that have been around for how many years? And, yeah, I mean, I was fortunate. I've known, like, my dad coached Phil in college, so I kind of was around him a little bit. But, yeah, Phil came into the locker room and just made a joke with me. He's like, hey, kid, just give me the puck. And I was like, okay, that's pretty easy to do. So it was fun and, obviously very intimidating.
That's a crazy line, Malkin and Kessel, because two guys who are known for, like, just natural talent.
Yeah.
And then you, a young kid coming in and just kind of trying to hang on. That's not a bad first line. That's pretty fun. Did Kessel talk about attacking me by any chance?
No. Oh, no, never, never. I've seen that video, though.
What did you think of that? Because he kind of lost, like, a screw was loose there. The wires crossed, or he just went nuts. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what you said to him that got him going like that.
I said, there's cheeseburgers in the locker room, hot dogs. And he's like, let's get kicked out. I want to go. And so he's like, let's go. I'm like, Phil, it's preseason. Relax. But look, all right. So going back to your first year in Pittsburgh, obviously we talked about you get drafted third overall. Not a high number. There's thousands of kids who are third overall who didn't sniff the NHL, languished in the AHL. You went to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. You didn't put up terrible numbers, but you didn't put up huge numbers by any means, point per game, you know, maybe a little higher. At what point in Wilkes-Barre did you talk to, it would have been Rutherford at the time, right?
Yep.
Did you get the sense that you were going to get called up?
I never got the sense. I mean, I was like, after I got sent down after training camp, they said, you had a good camp, just go play down there and play well. And just do your thing. And then I never thought I would get called up to when I did. There wasn't really any injuries. Kunis just got down with a little injury, and then mid-November got a call while I was at the grocery store that said, you're coming up and playing tomorrow. And I was like, okay, this is, yeah. So I was ready to go get dinner and then had like a 7 o'clock car service to go up to Pittsburgh and got in like at 11, 12 o'clock that night. And, yeah, was playing the next day. So that was a crazy whirlwind of a day, and had my parents fly in and brother fly in that day for the game.
Did you ever play another AHL game, or was that it?
No, I played, I think I played like, I can't even remember how many games, 5 or 6 or 7, whatever. Went down for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks and then was up ever since then.
And then you come up and you continue to produce. It's not like there was a drop off, and then the playoffs hit, Jake, and you take it to another level. Well, just, I've never played in the Stanley Cup Finals. What was that like going in, being the favorite? Pittsburgh won the cup the year before, obviously a wagon. And now you're a huge part of this team. You were playing with Malkin and Kessel still. I'm guessing you were in the top two lines. It's where you live. What was that like going into the Stanley Cup Finals? You're probably 21. It must have been just surreal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that whole year was just I honestly wish I could remember it more. I was just kind of like blacked out the whole year. Just,
you know, you were drinking heavy?
No. You're playing in the NHL. You're 22 years old. Your first year in the pro hockey. Then you're in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, this just seems like this would never happen, and you couldn't even dream about this. So, it was all you could ever dream for, the electricity in the building, you know, going to Nashville, the atmosphere there. It was just a crazy series. We're up two, then they won two. And, it was just, I couldn't even put into words on what it was like, just cause I know that was my first year and I haven't been really close since then. So I didn't realize how hard it was to get to that level and get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But, yeah, there's nothing more than I want to get back to there.
Yeah, well, it looks like you'll have your chance in Tampa Bay because, you know, one of the things I want to ask you about, you play, you know, basically 8 years on Crosby's line, more or less, and Malkin. And then you obviously play with great talent in Carolina. You're joining a great, very talented team in Tampa. But one of the things that we've seen over the years is that so many guys get elevated. They're scoring more goals than they normally would because they play on Crosby's line or Malkin. Is there any part of you that feels like you need to prove that you're a 40-goal scorer regardless of who you play with? And that it's not just because of Crosby?
No, I mean, that's, yeah, I'll always kind of have that, you know, he played with Crosby thing. That's just what I'll always kind of have with my name. And, but it's, you know, it's hard to score 40 goals in the NHL, and I've been fortunate to do it a couple of times. And yeah, Sidney Crosby might've been a big factor of it, but, you know, I'm going to a new team now, and hopefully, you can kind of put that notion to rest a little bit. You know, I thought I went in Carolina, did pretty well there. So, that's just kind of the biggest thing, is you get the confidence of, you know, when you go somewhere else that you can be a good player there too. And, you know, maybe you can kind of put some people's words in their mouth a little bit.
No, I agree. If you put up 40 goals playing with Point and Kucherov, like, you're amazing. Like, that'll be pretty impressive if you can do it with those bums, Jake. It'll be quite the feat. So I agree. I like where your head's at. Yeah.
Exactly.
Have you looked at that lineup at all and played, you know, coach, figure out who you want to be on your line with, or are you just going to go and just see what they do?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do. I haven't really talked about that with anyone. I mean, look, they got two really good centers, high-end centers with Point and Cirelli, and obviously Kucherov, and that Brendan Hagel is obviously a really good young player too. So I just can't wait to see who we end up with. There's a lot of good players, so it's going to be fun for all of us.
Tim, don't believe him. Listen, I know his agent, and he was my agent, Ben Hankinson. It's in his contract. He said, I need 90% of my shifts with Kucherov, or I'm walking. I'm not even lacing him up. Is that right, Jake?
I would never do that. Come on.
Maybe you wouldn't, but your agent would.
That's funny.
Or else, like, I'm done. Like, you've already signed the contract. I'm playing with Kucherov, but it is exciting. I bounced around the league. I went from being in Buffalo. We were arguably the worst team in NHL history. Couldn't score a goal. I was on the third line in Jake. That's how bad we were. I was on the third line in Buffalo. Can you believe that? Getting 12 minutes a game. That's, wrap your head around that. Me getting 12 minutes a game in Buffalo, third line. That's a bad team.
All-star MVP.
You were going to a team. Well, that's true. Have you made the All-Star game ever, Jake?
I was, yep.
Months? Did you win the MVP?
No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, something to shoot for, I guess. Can you wrap your head around the fact that you're a Stanley Cup favorite, and you, all eyes are on you this year, and you're going to be compared to Steven Stamkos. You're going to go into Nashville. He's going to be there. What is the interaction going to be like between you two guys? Because you play on the left wing. He's a right winger, left winger. He's going to move around. You're going to line up next to this guy. Are you going to say anything to him?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of an in the moment kind of thing. It's going to be different. And I haven't really thought about that, to be honest. Yeah.
You're like, your locker feels good. Thanks. It fits nice.
Yeah. I don't know.
You got to work on some, because there hasn't been very many times when a franchise player who is still in his prime, what did Stammer get last year, Tim? 40 plus. Like he's still playing really well. They just swap him out. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an interesting, do you feel any pressure? That's what I want to ask. Going into Tampa Bay, where you have to have something to prove, something to live up to.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's going to be pressure wherever you play. That's the thing about it. It's, you know, you're in the NHL, there's going to be pressure. Obviously there might be a little bit more with obviously mm-hmm. what happened, but as a player, that's what you want. That's what you dream for. You want to have that, and it makes you want to play that much better. And we'll see what happens. But I'm really pumped for it. I can't wait, and it's going to be fun for all of us. And
stop talking about Stamkos. Yeah. Are you having fun in your career, Jake? Do you think hockey's worked out for you? In all seriousness,
yeah. There's
like, is it?
Yeah, it's been a blast ever since. You know, so ever since I was little, this has been my dream to play in the NHL. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is for me to enjoy it, my family to enjoy it. But for my two brothers, my mom and dad, it's just been for us to go on this journey together. It's been amazing. And, you know, I wouldn't change it for anything. So been fortunate to play in the league for 8 years so far. And hopefully there's many more coming. Obviously 7 years in Tampa will be fun. And just for my family, I can't wait for us to enjoy this. My little guy, Charlie, it's going to be fun to see him grow up and I can't wait for him to have some fun with this too.
I like asking guys, but would you change it? Do you have any regrets? Would you change anything? Would you leave college earlier? Would you have maybe done something differently throughout the years? Would you have trained different? Would you have done something nutritionally different? Is there anything you look back on and go, oh, maybe I would have done that differently?
To be honest with you, no, not really. I think the only thing would have been after my first year would have realized that how hard it is to get back to the Stanley Cup. You don't realize, you know, I've made it the second round twice. And other than that, I've been either missed the playoffs or made it in the first round, got beaten out in the first round. So wish I would have soaked it in a little bit more. Tough being in the first year, 'cause you know, it's just all a blur at that point. So, I just got to try and soak it in a little bit more and hopefully get back there at some point.
Tim, you got anything?
Yeah, let's end with some rapid fire questions. So these are just kind of, you know, quick hits here and we'll end it there. You've sort of already touched on this, but who are your favorite two line mates of your career?
Probably say, obviously, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
You played with them at the same time?
We've had a couple shifts together.
I like it.
Who's better skill-wise, Crosby or Malkin? Pure skill. We're not talking any effort. Pure hockey skill.
Skill-wise, I would probably say Malkin, but high IQ, stick on the line, I'd probably say Crosby.
Like in practice when you guys are just goofing around and you're doing fun puck trips, what's some stuff that they've done that you just shook your head?
Like you watch Malkin during the games. He'll try skill plays, go through people, go through sticks, go through feet. With Sid, he'll just try to beat you one-on-one. He'll go, you know, he'll want you to go take you one-on-one. He'll want to go wide. He'll want to top puck protect. So it's hard to answer that question because they both have their skill in some ways.
Does Sid ever get pissed at Malkin? Like just be more fundamentally sound?
That Sid gets, I mean, he's just competitive. He'll get on you at one point, but he'll be your best friend the next shift. So it's kind of funny when that happens.
What does he get after you about?
Everything. He'll make a play. It's just, you know, when we would used to get mad at each other, you know, it's just the old grab each other's legs, say, hey, it's fine. Let's just have some fun with this one.
Gosh, that's so funny. It's so weird you talk about him. Like you could text him and he would answer you. That's so cool.
Oh yeah. I would text him. I think he's like my older brother. It's like, I could text him, call him any day and he's right there. And, yeah, I sat next to him in the locker room for 8 years. So every home and away is what we did.
Oh my God. Do you guys go out to dinner together and hang out like on the road? And
Yep, for sure.
What's the go-to restaurant when you're in a random city? You go to Washington, where are you guys going?
Nobu or what? There's an Italian spot there. I can't remember the name of it, but
I know like what you're talking about. Yeah.
A catch or, just kind of depends the area.
All right. That's cool. All right, Tim, I'm hijacking this. Sorry.
Next question. Who's the most underrated player in the league? And you can't say Aho. You've already said him.
Underrated. Like, I mean, I think JT, I don't think he's underrated, but I think he's, one of the best two-way, full-way. I mean, just offensive gifted. I think he'd be right up there. But I don't think he's underrated, but I think he's really good.
Who's the hardest defenseman to play against?
I think I would probably say Jakob Slavin.
Jakob Slavin. What, have you ever been laid out, like just absolutely pasted?
Oh yeah.
When?
Multiple times. My first year, wrist aligning got me. I was out. And then that Brandon, like that Manning in the outdoor game got me good too. They both got suspended from it, but I got absolutely.
Have you been suspended?
No.
Fined?
Nope.
Nothing. Have you ever won the Lady Bing or been nominated?
No.
Is that something that you're going to work on this year to maybe add a little more sandpaper in your game?
I'm always competitive, but I've never really been like a kind of like that. I mean, I chirp a little bit, but I'm not very good at it. It's just like, it doesn't really stay so competitive, and that's just what it is.
No, Jake, you got to get a laptop. All right, couple more. I want to know, have you ever laid anybody out, like in the trolley tracks and buried somebody?
Not really.
What's your deal?
Not that I can ever.
No. Have you been in a fight?
Nope.
Oh my gosh. All right, Tim, moving on. Unbelievable.
All right. Two more. Who's your favorite player to watch? Who are you pulling the highlights up for?
It would have been Kucherov.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
You're going to tell him that?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't wait to watch it just firsthand. I mean, this the way he's. It's just gonna be fun to watch because I just the plays he makes, the shot he has, the no look plays he makes. I mean, everyone knows on the power play it's coming to point, and he still fakes everyone out. So I just can't wait to watch that.
Who's the best player in the league?
Player in the league?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's hard to go away from McDavid, McKinnon, and those guys, but I'm the best overall player, no matter what. Still,
Sid, you said?
Yeah, I would take Sid over. You know, just as 200 foot.
Yeah. Who's the best D man?
McCarr. Edmonds. Okay. There's a lot of good players.
You score a lot of goals. Who's the hardest goalie to score on? If you just have like coming down one on one with the goalie from the kind of the hash marks to the dot, you got that shot. You're like 15, 10 feet out.
I think Vasilevsky because he's huge, but then I would have to say like Shesterkin's good. That I think Jake Ottinger's really good as well.
Who's the easiest to score on?
I'm not answering that.
But is there some goalies you don't have to say names? You're like, I got you. I know where to shoot.
Yeah, I've had some successes against some goalies. Yeah, but it's a lot of times it's not really just a shot 1v1. It's either it's like a rebound or stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
So it's hard to say like that.
We get scouting reports. You know the coaches, you know the video guys. You know this guy goes down early, shoot high. This guy, you know, is 5-0. This guy is there's goalies. So you know
guys. That's just
Who are they?
I'm not going to tell you. I got to keep something I don't want to let them know.
All right. Well, Tim likes to ask this question, and you obviously, you have a son of your own. What is some advice for young players coming up that you would like to instill on them?
Yeah, I just, for me, it was just compete level. You always got to compete. You never want to be satisfied. No matter how big or small you are, you make sure you want to, just compete your butt off to make sure you're doing whatever it takes to be like, if I'm going against you, I'm going to do whatever it takes. That's doing extra behind the
scenes. It's a bad idea.
Doing push-ups, doing whatever it is, stick candle and shooting pucks. There's always people getting better. So you got to make sure you're doing your end to make sure you're getting to the highest level as much as you can.
In HockeyDB, it says you're 5'11", 180. How accurate is that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Jake?
That's right on it.
No, it's not. You're 5'11"?
Yeah.
How much do you bench?
It's not a bench press league.
I'm just asking. Yeah, I wasn't good at the bench, so I could barely do 225.
What's that?
I could barely do 225 like six times.
Yeah.
What do you squat then? It's a squat league.
Is it?
It's not. But. You're doing something right. It's not a squat league. All right, man. Anything else? Do you want to give out your email or your Twitter or your cell phone to the people so they can get in touch with you?
Please, no.
He doesn't even want me texting him, Tim. I can't imagine what it is. All right, Jake. Well, I appreciate you jumping on. I know you're busy. You got a lot going on. You're in Minnesota dodging Hank and training for the season. So good luck this year. All the best, man. And we'll be watching, man. Hopefully you win another cup this year in Tampa.
Appreciate it. If I ever get in a fight, I'll let you know.
Please do. Just get into a fight. All right. Thanks, man. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.